So we are in Hosea chapter 4. So please open up your Bibles. And I'm going to see how far we can go. And I'll let Brent sort it out afterwards for next week. Okay, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. With bloodshed upon bloodshed, therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend and rebuke another. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory to shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart in their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. So I'll stop here for now, and if we can, we'll continue down. All right. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is speaking to us tonight. And the word of the Lord is speaking to us every day through His Holy Spirit. As we read His word, as we are sensitive to what He has to say through His word. Here is Hosea. It's somewhere his ministry was about 45, 50 years where he... during the time, or just previous to the captivity, and when just before the Assyrians took over in 722, the land was already partly in trouble, and then the Assyrians came, and well, that was the first dispersion of the Israelites. It wasn't a pretty sight, but you see, the Lord, through His love and mercy, was warning Israel to change their ways. And here the Lord couldn't be even more specific. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. A charge here against is a legal term that is used when a husband has a charge against his wife in a court of law, therefore he wants to divorce her. here is the Lord wants to get Israel, His people, to mean business with Him. And so He's warning His people. There is no truth or mercy. So I start looking it up. truth is that which is verified by experience. In the scripture, truth is a very important concept because God is the God of all truth. Perhaps somebody can read the Psalm 31:5. Can you read that, Mr. Brent? Psalm 31:5.
That says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth."
Yes. And what happened here is God is showing himself to the Israelites, and he's saying, there is no truth. And he's talking to the Israelites. There is no truth, and there is no mercy. That reminds me of something that Jesus was saying. And also, the time where John was introducing Jesus. And if you turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 14 and 17. "And the Word became flesh." John, verse 14 and 17. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. For the law," verse 17, "was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." What is the concern here on chapter 4? And actually, throughout the book of Hosea, the main concern is that, and I don't want to regurgitate all that we have learned so far, but the fact that God had been married to Israel, and Israel was walking in harlotry, or i.e. idolatry, and wasn't pleasing to the Lord. And Israel was showing that as an evidence because there was no truth in the land. And the prophet, and the Lord through the mouth of the prophet Hosea, is saying there was no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And the main issue here between God, Hosea, and the people of God, Israel, was that the people did not know God. And then as I'm going through this and learning with you, Pastor Brent, I say, okay, knowledge of God. Do we know God? And how do we know Him? How do we know that we know Him? And that kind of brought things home to me. Because, well, I've been a Christian for quite a few years. And I committed my life to the Lord. And I have had wonderful experiences with the Lord through my life. Back home in Brazil and through here in Canada. And there are many times where I look back and say, wow, so many times, so many days when the rubber meet the road, when there was temptation or whatever came, I didn't really know the Lord. Because when we get to know the Lord, we get to be close to Him. And the closer we get to Him, see, He's holy. And that ought to rub off some on us. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And the knowledge of God, let me get one of my notes here, just a moment. I'm still kind of, I use this program for my own benefit for studying, but I never used it for teaching, so I'm still kind of navigating through it. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. The question here is, how do I know that I know the Lord? Because that was the problem with Israel. The Lord was charging them, as in the court of law, says, "You do not know me." Okay, Lord, if you're telling that to me, and with all sincere heart, I need to know, how do I know you? Proverbs 2:5. Then you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Hosea 6:6. I'll give you some time to read. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. I'd like you to note these scriptures because they are so helpful. When I pose that question to myself, okay, how do I know you, Lord? Jeremiah 31:14. Jeremiah 31:14. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the last of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. That was when the prophet Jeremiah had that wonderful prophecy in Jeremiah about the new covenant and how the Lord be known by us. Now, of course, let's put this into context. We don't want to stand here and judge the people of Israel through the prophet, through the mouth of the prophet Hosea. But we want to understand the situation, what was going on. And at the same time, we want to see for us today, what does that mean? See, the people of Israel at that time, they didn't know Jesus as we know him today. Jesus, the Messiah, hadn't come. How were they supposed to know the Lord? We, looking back, say, well, we have it very easy for us to know the Lord. We have to accept him in our hearts. That's the beginning. But what about them? Well, the Lord had said, set the law, the prophets, to speak his word, and a set of rules, if you want to call it, so they would follow. So they would obey the law, and as they obeyed the law of the Lord, they would get to know him more. It hasn't changed because it was by faith then, it is by faith now. The difference is we're looking back, they were looking forward. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Or someone do not have the knowledge of God, speak this to your shame. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and the obedience of Christ. So, let me see if I understand this a little bit. How does that have to do with knowing the Lord? See, the enemy does not want you to know him. And as the enemy did not want Israel to know the Lord and put all these distractions in front of them. And the sin was setting them backwards. And the enemy will use those things to be a deterrent. All these distractions. And you can name it. You know them well yourselves in your own lives. And I know them myself in my life. And things that block us from knowing the Lord, from getting to know him more. there are many scriptures, and you can do a little, I recommend that you do a little bit of research on your own as far as finding out on how to know the Lord. But let's go for one more, and Ephesians 1, 17 to 21. Ephesians 1, 17 to 21. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance with the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and mighty and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, the knowledge that we're talking here is not a head knowledge, because God is not human. He came in the form of a human being through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the head knowledge here don't help. Is the experiential knowledge to know Him, to really know Him and spending time with Him. Now, here the prophet, or the Lord through the mouth of the prophet Hosea, has a list of sins which they're pretty sad here. And when Pastor Brandt asked me to share tonight, then I end up getting chapter 4, and then he says, well, you might even get into chapter 5. I said, oh, man. You know? He said, okay, I got to be positive here, but boy, these are pretty bad things, you know? And all these things, and the Lord was just keeping track of them. Because the people was so far gone. And you see, they had no excuse, because they had seen the works of the Lord. They had seen in their past the Lord delivering them from the Egyptians. They had seen the great kingdom during the time of David, during the time of Solomon, and the great miracles that were performed. But there was something missing in their lives. They were just distracted with all of those things of the day-to-day life. Now, nobody's saying here to stop working, but they were not interested in knowing the Lord, the one, the only one that could keep them together, the only one that could save them in the time of trouble. And boy, during that time, the world was going through conflict. Is the world going through conflict today? The same thing, it's no different. Although I think we're getting closer towards the end, how things are going. I was asking the Lord, I said, okay, I wanted to be fair here, because this is not where I'm trying to throw stones at Israel. Is just the Word of God says it's like a mirror, so we're looking to this, and then, do I see myself in here? And hopefully that we can, our prayer is that we can also learn from the experience of what happened to Israel. That's why it's listed there. Someone once said, the wise thing is not to learn from your own mistakes, it's to learn from somebody else's mistake. Right? And so let's learn something here. And let's jump into verse verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected the knowledge, you have rejected knowledge, I'll also reject you from being a priest before me. So it's pretty serious. This thing about knowing the Lord is not just something that we should take lightly. How do we know that we know the Lord? Well, in our day today, we say, okay, the first thing you do is you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we may know Him. And that's the beginning of it. And past beyond that, we need to spend time in His Word for what He has said. How do you know your partner? Your wife, your husband, by spending time with them, your children. You know, let me see what. I find this, I've heard this quoted before, even into the setting of a church setting. You know, my people are just, you know, some churches are going through tough times. And somebody with a judging type of words or something like that say, well, you know, Bible says my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. What do you think about that? You don't have to answer me now. Israel had some serious times. If it wasn't for the unshakable, unquestionable, the word I'm looking for is unilateral covenant that Israel, that God had with Israel, Israel wouldn't have existed. There was a time where the Lord said, you know, they're worse than the people of the world. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being a priest unto me. Let's go and look at the word priest. I like to do this because when I was reading through this, I thought, hey, you know, this is interesting. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And I'll be closing down, so it looks like I didn't get to the end of it. So I was prepared all the way to chapter 8, but I knew it was not going to work out. It's just that there's so much in the Word of God, and it's just I pray that I avoid rabbit trails. Sometimes you get into rabbit trails, and I don't want to, but I do want to emphasize the charge that God had against Israel, and that was the fact that they didn't know the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to substitute Israel and the church. That is not the point here. Israel is Israel, the church is the church, and there are two different dates of birth, two different dates of calling, completely distinct. But here, the Lord is saying on verse 6 of Hosea, chapter 4, I also rejected you from being a priest to me. So, Israel had called, God had called Israel to be a witness, a light to the world. Not the light, but a light to the world. And it was the whole nation. It was not just the cast of priesthood, and on an everyday basis, and is not different to us. We are called to be priests unto the Lord, to minister to Him, and to speak His word and to share His word. And that lack of knowledge of God prevented them from being a priest unto the Lord. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Hosea 8 verse 1, we'll just jump into there. We'll read two more verses and we'll be done here. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Ezekiel 22 verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the clean, the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I may be profaned among them. You know, it's a digression, a progression that leads on a down spiral. When you don't spend time in the Lord's law and His word, you miss knowing the Lord. And the more you miss knowing the Lord, the less you know Him, the more twisted you become with relation to His law. Does it make sense? The more you know Him, the more desirous you have to follow His word. You become, the more desirous you become to follow His word and to obey His law. Verse 10. That's the for they shall eat, Hosea 4:10, pardon me. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the law, the Lord. Jeremiah 9:13 says, and the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I have set before them, I have not obeyed, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it. Verse 14, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after Baals, which their fathers taught them. We need to come to the Lord and with our open hearts and minds and say, Lord, help me to know You more. There's a song, I want to know You more. Okay? I would like to end in a positive note, and we're going to get to it. Pastor Brent will teach us on chapter 6. But here the Lord has full commitment to restore Israel because of His grace. And if you and I are going through a time of trial where we find ourselves that we do not know the Lord as much as we would like, I have something to tell you. The Lord has made a commitment to you that is not over yet. The commitment is that He who began a good work in your life, He will finish it.